תנא דבליהו, כל השונה הלכות בכל יום, מובטח לו שהוא בן העולם הבא, שנאמר, הליכות עולם לא. אל תקרא הליכות אלא הלכות. רבותיי, the lesson I want to teach you today comes from אליהו הנביא, זכור לטוב. תנא דבליהו, that's אליהו הנביא. Eliyahu Navi gives us a secret, how to get to Olam Abba. It seems it's not so simple. It seems you have to have the proper credentials to get to Olam Abba. It doesn't matter who your father is, who your grandfather is. It doesn't matter if you're Halabi, although that helps. So then the question is, what is the credentials in order to enter Olam Abba? Which I'm sure all of you think about this. Olam Hazeh is temporary. This is a vestibule. A vestibule is a hallway. Like the Mesilat Yesharim calls it a pirozdor. It's a bridge. Nobody lives on a bridge. The bridge is only to get you from point A to point B. Point A is Olam Hazeh, but point B is eternity. So this is something that should consume your minds all day long. Am I going to get to eternity? So Eliyahu Navi says, well, I'll give you the key. Kol ha-shoneh halachot b'chol yom. If somebody studies halachot, now I don't know what halachot means yet, but if you study halachot b'chol yom, muftach lo. Now Eliyahu Navi is not lying. Eliyahu Navi is emet. He's a Navi emet. Muftach lo. Guaranteed, Olam Abba, fantastic. What is halachot? So if you look at the Mefarshim, halachot, mishnayot. Oh, so it sounds like everybody should stop whatever they're doing and go by themselves, shisha sedre mishnah, and every spare minute they have, study mishnayot. The question is, what is so special about mishnayot? Well, Mishnayot is the basis of Jewish law. All Jewish law, where does it begin? Well, of course, it begins with a pasuk from the Torah. But the pasuk is dry. The pasuk is written in short. Where is the halakha developed? Initially, the first address for halakha is the Mishnah. The problem with the Mishnah was it was written so short that eventually people cannot understand what the Mishnah meant. So they needed to elaborate on the Mishnah, and then they created Gemara. All the Gemara is an elucidation of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is shorthand, the Gemara is longhand. Okay, great. So what is halakha? Halakha is Mishnah, Gemara. We just expanded the word halakha to Mishnah and Gemara. The problem is, even Gemara became difficult. To study Gemara, you need Pirush. So therefore, you need Rashi. And then you need Tosafot. And then you need all the Mefarshim on Rashi and Tosafot. The Pnei Yehoshua, and the Maharsha, the Maharam Shif. And then you have all the other commentaries. So it turns out, Kol Ashtuneh Halachot B'Kol Yom means, whoever studies the Talmud, with all its commentaries. Now, I understand that in this community, the study of Talmud has become very fashionable. It's very vogue. Today, you see people walking around with the Gemara under their hands, and they go to Shi'urim, and they're very happy because Eliyahu HaNavi said, Kol Ashtuneh Halachot, Muftach Lo Shebin Olam Abba. And Rabbi Mansur explained, Halacha is Mishnah, and Mishnah means the elucidation of the Gemara with Pirush Rashi and Tosafot and all that. So everybody over here is very confident that they are on the path to Olam Abba. I am sorry to tell you that you're making a great mistake. Even all of you that are studying Gemara with Pirush Rashi and Tosafot, you are not guaranteed Olam Abba. I can be honest with you because I'm going back to New York tonight. Therefore, I was here already. You can't disinvite me. I was here already. So I could tell it to you straight. There was a great rabbi called Rambam, Maimonides. Well, he wrote a book. He wrote a book called Mishneh Torah. And it's actually 14 volumes. It's like an encyclopedia. And in the introduction of the Mishneh Torah, Maimonides writes, yes, it's important to study Mishnah and Gemara and all the Rishonim. But why? Because from the Gemara you will get the bottom line, what to do. Which means the purpose of the study of Gemara is not only for the exercise, for the mental gymnastics. Yes, Gemara is the number one medicine against the Yetzer Hara. That's for sure. If you're looking to fight your Yetzer Hara, there's no better medicine than the study of Gemara. The Yetzer Hara is allergic to Gemara. It gets a reaction, it runs away. But the Rambam says the purpose of the study of Gemara is so you can get what we call in America, bottom line. Now that I read the Gemara, what am I supposed to do? The problem is, and you know it better than me, the more you study Gemara, the more you're confused what to do. Because Rashi tells you to do one thing, Tosafot tells you to do the opposite. Every rabbi has a different understanding. So before you read Gemara, you were ignorant. Now you studied Gemara, the opinions only bring you to confusion. So you were better off not opening the Gemara. Then it's a 50-50. Now you have 17 opinions. So Harambam says, I'm going to make it easy for you. And it's amazing what he says. He says, stop studying Gemara. He writes an introduction. You don't need to study Mishnayot anymore. You don't need to study Gemara. I did the work for you. You just have to study this book, because this book over here will give you the bottom line. Because at the end, what's the purpose? To get to the bottom line. So I synthesized all these 2,000 pages and I took out and I extracted the main meat that you need to live as a Jew. Therefore, he says, all you have to study is this book. So my point is, I'm not telling you don't study Gemara. All of you have Yetzer Hara like the rabbi, you need to study Gemara, otherwise Yetzer Hara will eat you. It'll cannibalize you. So don't stop studying Gemara. And it's the best exercise for your brain. You know, your brain has a muscle. And if you don't work the muscles, they atrophy. And just like you have to work your arms, you have to exercise and work your legs, the brain muscle needs to be worked as well. And even though you're working in business, but business is easy. It's a 5-pound weight. The decisions that you're making, easy. Most of you have secretaries. Most of you have advisors anyway. You just come in and oversee. You don't need too much brains. Lo kol marbe b'shoram mahkim. I met people in New York that they're very wealthy and they don't even know how to sign their name. They don't even know how to write. They're dyslexic. And they'll say, I didn't become wealthy because of my brains or my good looks. I became wealthy because mazal Hashem was good to me. And that's the case in a lot of examples. So where are you going to work your brain muscle? The study of Gemara, that's a real workout. However, you're not going to know what to do. So you can have somebody that went through the entire Shas, and he's Mehalel Shabbat, and he's Ochel Nevelot Utrefot, and he doesn't keep the holidays correctly, and he doesn't keep Taharat Mishpacha properly, but he says, Rabbi, I finished Shas. I did Shas. There was one time a big rabbi called Rabbi Schwab. One of his students came to me and says, Rabbi, I did Shas. So he said, but what did Shas do to you? You're still the same Amar as before and after. So you did Shas. You ate 2,200 pages, whatever it is, 2,700 pages. My point is, today, the study of Halakhot is the bottom line. So you must add to your curriculum, besides your learning, you have to study the halakha lema'aseh. And that's what Eliyahu Nabi was saying. In the olden days, they could read the Mishnah and they knew the bottom line. Today, we don't have the ability. So you need to open up the later books of the rabbis and to find out what to do. Now, Rambam is only one opinion. The Rosh is a different opinion. The Rif is a third opinion. So now you're stuck again. So you have to go to the latest rabbi, the rabbi who's living today. whether it's Acham Avadia, whether it's Acham Ben Sion Abba Shaul. Doesn't matter who you choose as your rabbi. Asel Echarav. And you have to trust him because he learned all the material before. And now he tells you, here it is. Here's the bottom line. Now take it and follow it. Then you have Olam Abba. But until you study Halakha L'Maaseh, your Olam Abba is in question. So you're going to go up to 120 years, you're going to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ha-Shas. And the Rambam is going to like this. You didn't read my introduction. I told you that Shas is not enough. You need to understand how to be Jewish. And Shas doesn't teach you how to be Jewish. Shas keeps you Jewish, but it cannot make you more Jewish. Halakha is practice. And that's why the Gemara says, Al tikre halichot, ela halachot. Now, how do you do that? The pasuk says halichot. And the rabbi comes along and says, no, don't read it like that. But it says halichot. No, I'm going to change it. Change the nikudot. Halichot, halachot. Wow. You could just change it like that? Explanation is, what does halichot mean? Your lifestyle. Your halicha is a lifestyle. What is a Jewish lifestyle? Jewish lifestyle is only based on halachot. So your halichot have to be based on halachot. They're not going to judge you how much pages of shas you know. That's not a lifestyle. That's brain. That's knowledge. That's book knowledge. What they're going to judge you is on how you live, your halichot. And therefore Eliyahu Nabi said, your halichot have to be based on halachot. The halachic Jew. So you have to know all these laws. And Shulchan Aruch, by the way, did the work for us. There was a great rabbi called Rabbi Yosef Karo. He lived 450 years ago. And he basically codified the Jewish law for us. From when you wake up in the morning until you get drunk on Purim. From beginning to the end and everything in between. And that's only one section. Then he gave you the section of Yoreh De'ah to teach you all the Isur Veheter. And then the laws of marriage. And then for you people, the laws of business. Did anybody of you ever take a minute to learn the laws of business? No, why? I'm learning Zevachim. What, any of you Kohen Gadol over here? How is it going to change your life if you know Davar HaLamed Mehekesh, Enu Lamed Mehekesh, Davar HaLamed Enu Lamed Mehekesh? All these laws, not going to change your life. Meanwhile, you're in business and you're breaking the law 10 times a day. But you know that if you learn the Hekesh, you can't make a Hekesh after that. Well, what is that going to do for you? So, Kol HaShoneh Halachot means if you study practical halakha. Because of this, 2 years ago, well, 2 years ago, January 1st, actually, I started a project. Because we have the same problem in New York. Everybody's learning Gemara, and we have a bunch of Ame Ha'ares that don't know what to do. They have a lot of good brain material, but the lifestyle. You know the famous story? One time the rabbi, he lived across the street from Amma Anis. So what happened? The rabbi's daughter was giving birth on Shabbat. Halakha says, if a lady is giving birth on Shabbat, you can be Mehalel Shabbat. So she needs hot water. So the rabbi went and outside, chopped the wood, brought the wood inside, made a fire, and had the smoke coming out of his chimney. The Amma Aris across the street, he says, look at this hakam. He doesn't know the halakha. He's making a fire on Shabbat. I better go tell him. So he leaves his house. It was raining. He takes his umbrella. He opens his umbrella. He walks from Reshut Yahid to Reshut Rabim. Now he gets across the street. He closes the umbrella, but it was wet. He squeezes the water out. And then he knocks on the door. No answer. He rings the bell. Okay, the rabbi comes. Yes. Hakam, Abishu, not for me to tell the rabbi, but, you know, Shabbat, maybe see, you're not allowed to make a fire on Shabbat. He said, Ya'ama Ares, Tipesh Metupash Kemutcha. He said, you're coming to tell me I made an Isur. He says, first of all, my daughter's pregnant. She's giving birth. It's a mitzvah to make a fire for her. She's in Sakana. And you carried the umbrella from Reshut Yahid to Reshut Rabim, from Reshut Rabim to Reshut Yahid. That's hotza'ah. That's a federal crime. You open the umbrella, boneh. You close the umbrella, soter. You squeeze the umbrella, sohet. You rang the bell, mef'ir. How many isurim did you make from walking 6 feet from a kosher street to tell me that I'm doing a mitzvah? Velo ama aris hasid. The ama aris cannot be hasid. One time, there was another ama aris. He was a shuhit. He slaughters animals. So what happened? He doesn't know the halakha. He slaughters. He goes to the rabbi, hakam, kasher or tarif. The rabbi, not such a smart rabbi, everything he told him, mahmir, tarif. So the shuhit says, I can't make a business of it. Every time I show the rabbi a piece of meat, tarif. So he spoke to his friend. His friend told him, no, I have a better system. Oh, what's the system? The Torah says, if you have a piece of meat that's tarifa, lakelef tashlichunoto, throw it to the dogs. So he says, go buy a dog, throw the meat. If the dog eats it, it's taref. If the dog doesn't eat it, it's kasher. He says, wow. He says, it works? Of course it works. Like, I love it. The Torah says it. So he goes to buy a dog. And now he's throwing the pieces of meat. 2 years later, he goes back to the rabbi. Hakam, kasher or taref? He says, where have you been for 2 years? He says, no, I got a different system. I got the dog. So he says, so what happened? He says, Hakam, the dog is more mahmir than you. He eats everything. My point is, this is Amma Aratzut. You need to know the law. And what happens when your wife asks you a question? She says, well, you're learning all this day, Shas, you're learning everything. I ask you a simple question, Hilchot Shabbat. But you learned 160 pages, Masechet Shabbat. It took you 5 years. You don't answer simple questions. You get Isaac's book. What's the book say? Fine, no problem. Or your son comes home from school. Daddy, I forgot your Alevi Avo and the Amida. Oh, this we have to call the Gidolim. Well, Gidolim, every 2 year old knows Gidolim for your Alevi Avo. But you're studying Gemara, but you don't know what to do. So you have Gemara Mishnah, but you don't have Halichot Olam. Your lifestyle is not going to change. You could study all the Gemara, but your lifestyle will not change until you start learning halakha l'maaseh. So what did I do? Exactly. I found a rabbi in Israel, a rabbi Bitan, his name is, Israel Bitan. He's a gaon. He translated the Yalkut Yosef into English. Now, I don't need to read English. But of course, I don't like to read English. I like to read the Lashon HaKodesh. However, he did such a good job. Not on top. On top is the bottom line halakha, but on the bottom, all the sources. And it was so clear. And he brings all the opinions of all the rabbis that we love. Chaim Avadya, Chaim Ben Zion, etc. And he asks questions. Chaim Avadya wrote in one book this way. In another book he wrote this. I'm going to answer the question. So it's deep. I went crazy for this book. He came to me, he said, what if we take the halakhot from this Yalkut Yosef and we create a curriculum? We're going to call it Biki'im Bahalakha. We'll make books like this. We'll send it out to all the members for free. And we'll have a daily study. So let's say today is day 58. Tomorrow, 59. Each book will have 100 days. We're up to already Biki'im Volume 5. Now we're learning the Hilchot of Tefillin. I said, Rabbi, so he came to me, would you be the broadcaster? Would you teach the Halakhot? Originally, like my always answer is, thank you very much for the opportunity, but I'm busy, I don't have time. But then I said to myself, what an opportunity this is. I'm teaching Shas to the whole world. Is this going to be my legacy, that I taught everybody brain knowledge and I never changed their lives in practice? I turned to the rabbi, you know something, I'm going to find the time. So I accepted upon myself in my busy schedule, another item, to every day orate this halakhot. We started off with 100 members. Today we have over 5,000 members. You hear the number I said? 5,000 members that are studying 15 minutes of halakha bi'ayun. Now they know what to do. It changed their lives. The text and the message that we get from all over the world, Australia, in America, all the 50 states, Panama, I don't know if it reached Brazil yet, but it should reach it because it's such a beautiful program. You become now half a Talmid Chacham. You know things. And even when the rabbis come to our shul in Brooklyn, they sit this, you're teaching them this. This is for rabbis what you're teaching them. I said, Rabbi, they're just as Jewish as you. Where does it say that this halakha is only for guys with beards and big hats? It's for everybody. They're super impressed. Can I give you an example? I'm going to give you an example today. I'm going to give you a sample of what we do. Now, I know it's hard to jump in the middle of a book. But in 3 weeks, we're going to start volume 6. Volume 6 is the laws of Berachot. To me, that's the most interesting out of all the halachot. Because we're making berachot all day long. You're eating all day long. What's the berach? Yeah, you ate sushi. What's the berach on sushi? What's the berach on sushi? It's rice, mezonot. No, not so simple. Normally, when there's a mezonot, mezonot wins. But rice is an exception. When there's rice, then you have to go with the law of majority. What's the majority? I don't know, maybe the cucumbers, maybe the fish. Go break your head. What? That's why I didn't eat. You see, I didn't eat this one. I got to get by with this over here. I need a piece of bread to make a mozi before I eat the sushi now, because it's a bigger... But Baruch Hashem, everybody ate already. Sachten, everybody ate. No problem. You have no problems. But I'm learning Shas. I'm learning Shas. But you're making Berachot Batalot every day. So if you don't know what you're doing, one time, I'll give you a simple story. We have one of the Syrian foods. We have in Jadra. Jadra is rice and lentils. So somebody went to Rabbi Raful, Abraham Raful, alav shalom. He said, Hakam, what's the beracha in Jadra? He said, whatever the majority is. If the majority is rice, mizonot. If the majority is lentils, adama. So the guy's a wise guy. He tells the rabbi, what if it's 50-50? Yeah, you counted the rice and the lentils. So the rabbi tells him, 50-50, take out one lentil and make mizonot. That's the answer for a wise guy gets a wise guy answer. Anyway, so we're going to start. It's okay. Hold on. We're going to start Bekiim Bahalacha 6. Probably a month, actually, because now we're day 48. We go to day 100, so it's 40 days. About a month. Bekiim 6 is going to be probably the most interesting curriculum that you ever had. And we're looking to grow it. There's no membership. It's free. I do all the work. You just have to sit and listen and hopefully follow. I'll give you an example we're talking about today. Today we're talking about tefillin, Sefer Torah, mezuzot. So the Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu went up to heaven, the Gemara Menachot. He went up to heaven and he sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever that means, writing a Sefer Torah. Wow. And he sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu on top of the letters. He's writing what we call tagim. Tagim are those crowns on top of the letters. So Moshe Rabbeinu, he knows what the letters mean. But when he saw the tagim, he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what is this? I never understand. What are these crowns you're putting? He says, you don't understand. But one day there's going to be a great rabbi called Akiva ben Yosef, and he's going to come and give the derashot on every single keter, on every single crown of the otiyot, which is a tremendous chiddush. That means when you open a Sefer Torah and see those crowns on the letters, there's actually commentary on the crowns. I don't have any book to explain the pirush of the commentary on the crowns. We don't have the book. When Mashiach comes, Be'ezat Hashem, there's going to be a new curriculum. You're going to go to Shi'urim, and what's going to be the topic of the class? Today we're going to study not the letters, we're going to study the pirush of the crowns on top of the letters. So the Gemara says, well, which letters deserve crowns? The Gemara says, no, not every letter. 7 letters. Oh, only 7 letters? Yes. And what are those letters? How are you going to remember it? So the Gemara gives us a way to remember it. Sha'atnez, gets. Sha'atnez, you know, sha'atnez. Shin, ayin, tet, nun, zayin, Gimal and Sadi Sofit. Sha'atnez. Now the nun, not only the nun, the regular nun, even the nun Sofit. And not only the Tzadi Sofit, but even the regular Tzadi. So those 7 letters. Okay? Now we're learning something. The question then becomes, how many tagim on each one of these letters? 3. What is the shape of the tagim? The halakha says it's like the letter Zayin. So imagine you draw Zion, 3 Zions, and you put it on top of the letter. Hazaka Baruch. Now's the million-dollar question. The question always is not what you have to do. In halakha, the question is, what if you didn't do it? We know you should do it, but people are not always compliant. People don't always follow instructions. So now the she'ila is, you go up to the Sefer Torah, and you see there's no tagim. The guy got a discount. He told him, you want tagim? It's an extra $2,000. No, give me the minimum. Oh, okay, no tagim. Okay, the guy's a cheapskate. Now you went up to the Sefer Torah, you made the berakah. Baruch Atah Hashem, you look, it's naked. The Sefer Torah is naked. There's no tagim. Is it kasher or pasul? Did you make a berakah lebatala? Or how about when you bought your tefillin? Imagine you brought your tefillin to the sofer. He opens the box. He takes out the parashiyot. He looks. Says, Shibi Jannin. Wow, these tefillin mehudarim. However, I have bad news. Whoever sold it to you, there's no tagim. He says, yeah, I know. I told him, no tagim. I'm not interested. It's the extra money. I got a discount. When you bought your car, you asked for less features or more features? No, you asked for more features. When you buy a tefillin, you want the minimum. That's olam hafuch ra'iti. Comes a great rabbi called the Benu Asher, the Rosh. The Rosh comes along and says, if the Sefer Torah is missing tagim, it's pasul. And if the Sefer Torah is missing and the tefillin is missing and the mezuzot is missing, pasul. The Rosh is one of the major rabbis of halakha. It's not only his opinion, it's also the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. Who's Rabbeinu Tam? The rabbi of Tosafot. What kind of name is that? Is anybody in the community here in Brazil called Tam? The only Tam is from the Haggadah Shel Pesach, Tam Ahu Omer. Who would call their son Tam? His name is Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov Ish Tam Yoshev Uhalim. So they nicknamed him Rabbeinu Tam because he's like Yaakov Abinu. So you have the Rosh, the Sefer HaTerumah, and Rabbeinu Tam all say the Sefer Torah is Pasul. And if you went up and made a Beracha, it's a Beracha Lebatala. Now what about the later rabbis? The later rabbis, a rabbi called Bayit Hadash. Bayit Hadash said, yes, the Halakha is like the Rosh, Pasul. Not only that, there was a great rabbi from Chabad. The first rabbi from Chabad, we have the great rabbi Weitman, Rabbi Zalman. Rabbi Zalman Miladi, in his Shulchan Aruch Harav. You know how great Rabbi Zalman was? There was no rabbi like this, Rabbi Zalman. He's the Baal HaTanya also. Rabbi Zalman, when he was 7 years old, he had the brain of a Gaon. He would go to the yeshiva, 7 years old, all the Gedolim are arguing in the Gemara. He would argue with them. 7 years old, he's arguing, no, it's like this, like that. They couldn't believe it. All of a sudden, one day he's arguing with the rabbis. He disappears. They said, where'd the kid go? He's in the playground. He's on the horse, going like this. So they tell him, hey, what are you doing? He said, listen, if I don't get this out of my system when I'm 7, I'm going to be doing this when I'm 40. Now I'm a kid. I have to. So he knew that also. He knew psychology. He said, I have to do this now because I don't want to be riding on the horse when I'm 40 years old. Anyway, Rabbi Zalman also said, the halakha is like the Rosh. And therefore, if the Sefer Torah does not have tagim, it's pasul, you cannot make a beracha. Okay, that's one side. Now let's go to the other side. Le'umatam shabihim ve'omerim. We have the opinion of Harambam. Harambam, okay. Maimonides. He writes in that book that I told you, Mishneh Torah, that if the Sefer Torah or the is missing tagim, ma'adish, it's kasher, there's no problem. You could go up to the Torah and you could make a beracha. He writes this in two places. He writes this in Harambam Mishneh Torah, and also he wrote a Teshuvot Pe'er Ador. He writes that here as well. So now we have a Mahloket, the Rosh on one side, the Rambam on the other side. You see what I tell you? Now I'm confused because now I have two opinions. Now if I walk away, I just confused you. Before you had no opinion. Now you're Misupak. Wait. There's another rabbi called Rav Hai Gaon. Rav Hai Gaon came before the Rambam. And his opinion, we take it very seriously. He says, Rabotai, the tagim, why do we write tagim? He says, because ze eli ve'anvehu. It just makes the Torah look pretty. So according to Rav Hai Gaon, he understood the tagim is more aesthetics. It's for beauty. It's like when you have you're painting something, so you put little flowers and you put little ornaments to make it pretty. So therefore, he says, Rav Hai Gaon, he agrees with the Rambam, or maybe I should say the Rambam agrees with Rav Hai Gaon, that it's just for prettiness, and therefore, if you didn't do the tagim, it's okay. So now we have already teams, we have sides. The Rosh, the Sefer Terumah, Rabbi Nutam, Rabbi Zalman, the Bayit Hadash, no good. The Umatam, Harambam based on the Rav Hai Gaon, and we also have the later rabbis that agree with the Rambam, the Magen Avraham, and the Pri Megadim. This is a nice war. This is a good debate we have over here. So what do we do in such a case? Very simple. We open up Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch was like a referee. He took all the opinions, and he's able to say, you're the correct one. And the Sfaradim always accept, most of the time I should say, Shulchan Aruch's opinion. So I'm going to read it. You tell me what he holds. It's easy, this one. Shulchan Aruch. Siman Lamidvav. Halakha Gimal. Sarich Litayeg Sha'atnez Getz. You have to put tag on the seven letters Sha'atnez Getz. V'hasofrim nahagu Litayeg Otiyot Achirot. And the sofrim, they even put tagim on other letters. It's not really recommended, but that's what they do. Good luck to them. Oh, now the Shulchan Aruch writes, V'im lo tiyeg afilu sha'atnez getz, and if you didn't put the tagim on sha'atnez getz, hayav mita. No, I'm just kidding. He doesn't say that. He said, no, I'm not. Hayav mita. V'im lo tiyeg afilu sha'atnez getz, lo pasal. It's not pasul. Who did he take? Harambam. Who did he take? Rav Hai Gaon. So therefore, according to Shulchan Aruch, we have a very interesting halakha. If somebody goes up to the Sefer Torah and he sees that there's no tagim, lo pasal. Now the question becomes, can he make the berachot? Why not? According to Shulchan Aruch, lo pasal. Kavod, barichu, asher baharbanu. We have a problem. Because there's a general rule in berachot, we're going to learn it in a month. Safek berachot lehakel. Whenever you have a machloket in berachot, one rabbi says, make the beracha. One rabbi says, don't make the beracha, it's beracha lebatala. What should we do? You have to hedge. Insurance, I'm not making the beracha. So here the Rosh says, pasul. The Rambam says, kasher. Now I get the aliyah. I see there's no tagim. Really, we should say, I can't make a beracha. What do you mean can't make a beracha? We need you to go up to the Sefer Torah. Why? For the Misha Berach. We need money for the shul. We need you to... Please, you're going to cost the shul a lot of money. Why not to make a beracha? Anyway, Chacham Avadia asked this question. Chacham Avadia has a rule that whenever Shulchan Aruch says that you can make the beracha, and we have the Rambam, and we have other opinions, you don't have to worry about Safek Berachot Lakel. So therefore, he says, if you went up, make the beracha. Oh, so now the question then becomes, should I leave the Sefer Torah like this? Or should I fix it? Well, I don't think it's a question. There was a great rabbi that wrote a book. The name of the book is called Bedek Habayit. You know who wrote that book, Bedek Habayit? Rabbi Yosef Karo. But I thought he wrote Shulchan Aruch. He wrote two books. Now, in the Bedek Habayit, he says that yes, it's kosher if there's no tagim. However, don't leave it like that. Fix it. And if you could get another sefer, better. But now we have a problem. Because when he wrote the Shulchan Aruch, he didn't say that. In Shulchan Aruch, he didn't say to fix it. He didn't say get another Sefer Torah. The question then is, which book did he write first? The Bedek Habayit or the Shulchan Aruch? According to Rav Chida says, first he wrote Bedek Habayit, but his final opinion is Shulchan Aruch. And Rav Chida says, in the Beit HaKabayit, he said, it's better to fix it. But later, he found Rav Haigaon. And Rav Haigaon said, nah, it's only decorative. And therefore, in Shulchan Aruch, he said, it's kosher, you don't have to worry about it at all. You don't even have to fix it. However, we introduced to you the opinion of Rabbeinu Ari. The Kabbalists have a whole different way of understanding everything. They understand the tagim, like the Gemara said. Hashem is making tagim on the otiyot. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, what is tagim? Wait, Yabi Akiva is going to give derashot. When Mashiach comes, there's going to be books on tagim. So you see the tagim actually are not just decorative, they actually have purpose. And not only that, there was a great rabbi, a Kabbalist also. He wrote a sefer, and he says the following. The letters Sha'atnez gets actually is an abbreviation of three negative forces. Satan, that's three letters. Az and Getz. He says these three, there's a rabbi from Prague. He wrote a sefer called Igeret HaTiyun. It's the brother of the Maharal. And he writes in that sefer that if you want to protect yourself from those three negative forces, you write the tagim. The tagim is the letter Zayin. What does Kle Zayin mean? A weapon. So when you put the Kle Zayin, you put the weapons on those letters, you're protecting yourself and the community from the kilipot of Satan, Az, and Getz. Fantastic. So therefore, is security necessary or voluntary? Security is necessary. Look how you guys live. One door, then the other door, and the door behind you closed. You can't move anywhere in this town. Security is necessary. But when it comes to Sefer Torah, you don't need security? So therefore, the Arizal said, the tagim are mandatory. I'll tell you a story. When Chaim Avadia passed away, our congregation donated a Sefer Torah in Israel in his memory. And we all went, the whole shul went, most of the shul, on the Yortzeit. I spoke at the Yortzeit of the Rav, in front of all the Hachamim, and then we gave the Sefer Torah to the family. And we were so proud of it. We get a call a month later, somebody's reading from the Sefer Torah. I said, listen, Hacham, it's a beautiful Sefer Torah. However, some of the letters, the Sofer missed the tagim. I told him, that's it, it's your problem. You don't put me in, I gave you the Sefer Torah. These Israelis, they want more money now. They figured out I'd get more money from me. Said, no, we're not going to use it until you get a guy, an expert. Okay, I don't know, a tag expert. No, we got the guy. Happens to be the guy on the phone that called as a tag expert. No coincidence. He says, I could fix it for you. What a coincidence, you could fix it for me. How much is this procedure going to cost the congregation? No, for $5,000, I could go through the whole Sefer Torah. He got us, we had no choice. He's called the Mitayeg. Anyway, he went through the whole Sefer, and he sent me a report, and I have no regrets. He did find the Sofer, he missed some of the Tagim. And Kol HaKavod, Shulchan Aruch says, Lo Pasal. Chaim Avadia says, Kasher. But Chaim Avadia says, you should fix it. You shouldn't leave the Sefer Torah or the Tefillin or the Mezuzot without the Tagim. Finally, I'll conclude what's brought down. The letter Zayin. How do you spell Zayin? Zayin, Yud, Nun. Zayin. Now, if you take the numerical value of all those letters, Zayin is Zayin, Yud, Nun. Yud is Yud, Vav, Dalid. Nun is Nun, Vav, Nun. That's the gematria of the whole milui of the word Zayin. It equals 193. I know you don't care. Who cares 193? But there's a word in the Kabbalah, a shem. He quotes it over here in the Halachot. And we'll conclude with this. I'm reading it to you. The Matzat Shemurim, cited by Rabbi Yaakov Sofer, instructs the scribe, the Sofer, to have in mind that each tag in the shape of a tiny letter Zayin and the word Zayin spelled Zayin, Yud, Nun, those letters have a combined numerical value of 193 equal the word, I don't want to say because it's a Kabbalistic word, tet, pe, yud, he. It's like taf and taf, a And yeah, that equals 193. What is that? If the scribe has these intentions, the person wearing the tefillin will receive heavenly assistance to avoid sinful thoughts. So the tagim take away machshavot ra'ot. So therefore, when you buy a pair of tefillin, not only should you tell the sofer, make sure you put the tagim, but you say, I want kavanot. Because the kavanah of the sofer can affect the person that's wearing it. And that was an example. Imagine doing this every day. Now you're an expert in the laws of tagim. Now you're not an artist anymore. Now when you walk out, you're going to see a guy in the street. Oh, I have a question. I saw this morning or Monday, the sefer that was missing tagim. What's talakha? Before this class, you would say, I'm busy. I got to go to work. Now you're proud. There's a big mahlok in the Rosh, the Rambam. Okay, but what's the bottom line? Shulchan Aruch says it's okay. However, you should. Now you have knowledge. A little knowledge is dangerous. Knowledge is power. And the more you'll study, the halachot are going to change the halichot. The laws will change your lifestyle. And then it's guaranteed. Muftahlo shehu ben olam haba. Thank you very much.